disciple met female.
Yes.
I'm not remembering her name, any name, Kuhar. He was living with that lady and he was guardian of that lady. So many years she lived in Vrindavan. At the age of about 24 or 5, he ordered her to go with her to Radhakund and to live something there, to do Govardhan surroundings and live in Vrindavan with so vairagya. She went with that lady there and she, about 15 years more than that, she lived there and practiced with vairagya. He ordered her guru everything that he has told her, her sadhana. Now she was so much learned also by hearing the classes and very efficient in Srimad Bhagavatam. She has remembered all these slokas of Raspanchadhyayi, Bhramar Gita or all Gopi Gita, Yugal Gita. So, and she could explain so
clearly, beautifully,
beautifully, marvelously and in Madhur Bhav.
Mm.
Everyone were surprised how she
knew this.
But his Gurudev told everything to her and he remembered all these things. And he was so much efficient on bhakti cult. Then his Gurudev told that now you should go to Puri, Jagannath Puri. And you should discover where is the place of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Now it is ruined, no any symbol of his palace, so you should go. Now the lady was that devotee, old lady, and she became about 50.
Ganga Mata.
Not Ganga Mata.
Sachi Devi.
Then he went to carry his Gurudev orders and she reached Puri and she saw that there is no symbol of that village.
No sign.
But yet people were telling that this is the
place. Once it was there.
But nothing was there.
Yes.
Only heaps of
dirt and rock.
Dirt and dust and
rubble.
Everything was there. After some time, she made a hut there.
Yes.
And used to do part, Srimad Bhagavat, Raspanchadhyayi and all these. Gathering was going on.
Yes.
Gradually.
So many meetings, people coming to hear
So, everyone was praising how beautifully and marvelously this lady is doing part of Srimad Bhagavatam. And everyone was surprised and attracted to her. At last, king of Puri heard this news and in disguise he came to hear her Srimad Bhagavatam. And he was also at. So all Vidwan, all
scholars,
learned persons and scholars used to attend her Srimad Bhagavatam Patham. At that time, one Brahmin. At that time, one day, Ganga Dasahara came and all devotees are going to Ganga Bath in Bengal or in other places. She also
wanted to go.
But leaving her duty, he cannot go, could not go. So he was in
some question what to do?
What to do? In the meantime, in the night, she heard a sound and saw that Ganges has come here. From Jagannath's feet, a current came to her, where is Shwet Ganga. And Kalkal Dhvani was there, sound, and she went there, saw that so many persons are taking bath in Ganges. All are telling that water was very white, and so it is white Ganga, Shwet Ganga. Then she began to take bath in that Ganges, and at once current led her to Jagannath temple. She went there, flowing. Then she was in temple, but the gate was
closed.
It became about 4. Then priests were come there and tried to open the door, but they could not open. They told to head to Yari, and he also came, and so many persons came and saw that and closed the door and saw Ganga Mata inside. Then they caught hold of Ganga Mata. She is thief. She has come to take the ornaments of Jagannath, and she was sent to jail. In the night, Jagannath gave dream to king and head pujari that you at once leave her. She is my so much dear. I have fulfilled her
desire,
and Ganga has gone her in Shwet Ganga, and she was taking bath. And to tell everyone this fact,
to glorify her.
I have done so. So leave her, and with respect, and you both, with your attendants, should go at once to her and ask apology, and you should take diksha from her. So king, head pujari, and all associates and highest officers all went to Ganga Mata in jail, and they begged pardon, and they took her out of jail, and they told that you should give me diksha. She told that I cannot give you diksha. Then Jagannath also gave dream to that lady, and then they came. Then she gave diksha to all these persons, and from that very day, Ganga has come itself to give mercy to her. So he was called Ganga Mata. One day after that, king made this land so beautifully, and a palace was made, and everything for reminding Mahaprabhu and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya.
And his the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya.
And everything was made there. Very good hall was there.
Yes.
And everything, Mahaprasad, and everything was coming from Jagannath daily. Mahaprasad.
To Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's house.
Then one person, a old man from Jaipur, went with his Rai.
Shyam Rai.
Krishna told him that you should go to Puri with me, and I want to be served by Ganga Mata. And if you are not taking me there, then I will do your sarvanash. Sarvanash? I will have to learn English, you should. You will die your all will die. Everything will be spoiled. Then he took Shyamrai in a basket and came to Puri, and he wanted to give her. He refused that, how can I
take
serve? But when he refused, then he, with basket, kept Shyamrai in a Vrindavan, Vrinda Devi.
Tulsi.
So many Tulsis were there.
Yes.
So, jungle of Tulsi,
yes.
He kept it and he fled away. Then Thakur, in dream, told that I am here without any snan and you should, so you should go and take me and to serve. Then she went there and saw that he is there. Then he took away in the mandir and she used to.
Was Sweta Ganga called Sweta Ganga before?
What?
Was Sweta Ganga previously called Sweta Ganga or only from this time?
Sweta Ganga?
Was already named like that from his before?
At first there was no Ganga, nothing.
It became Sweta Ganga because of her?
I think it sounds to me from your tape that although there's that sense of not doing anything, that you're settled into your responsibilities there. In one sense, a bit more than you were a while before. But anyway, he said really strongly, he kept saying, tell Rukmavati to be careful. In a marriage right now, don't push Ramprasad, because a male ego can't take it. And he somehow or other insisted that I tell you that and warn you to be patient. And I also, although I don't know what the future holds, have a great deal of faith that this period that you're going through now, which is really frustrating in certain ways, is for a good reason. And your house there and your activities, well, it seem to be stifling. They're all there for a good reason, and Srila Prabhupada is not aloof or distant from you. He's very near. And you shouldn't feel upset or frustrated or feel him to be distant, because he's not. I'm seeing a lot how sort of subtly Srila Prabhupada is watching over each devotee and waiting the appropriate time to really tangibly benedict them. I saw this with my friend Padma Malini, who is slowly, whilst still responsible for two sons and a husband who is not at all Krishna conscious, who she lives with, who allows her to be able to go to the temple but has no capacity or interest himself. And for quite some years she resented that, but she faithfully and chastely stayed with him. She came this time to Vrindavan, a very nice lady, very motherly, sincere, not so strong in certain ways, a little like myself in terms of being mildly and self-disciplined, but very soft-hearted and quite pious and sincere disciple of Prabhupada. And when I arrived back from Puri, she was at the gate. And I hadn't seen her for 5 years. And before then, we would never see each other for another 4 years or something. And yet, as soon as I saw her, I had this feeling that Prabhupada had brought her here to give her something this time. She'd been here a month, and she comes to see me time to time and asks questions. She knows about Maharaj through some devotees in America. She went to see him once, a little bit skeptically but respectfully, and I told her somewhat about my relationship with Maharaj. She doesn't find him threatening, but doesn't see the immediate relevance of his role in her life. But she's very respectful, and I can sort of see that Prabhupada is just giving her something. I've been taking her on parikramas with me when I could. I only have a few different people who've asked me to go out, mostly Australians. And she's so appreciative, and she's listening so carefully, and she's just like us, around the same age, same experience. And I feel that Prabhupada is going to benedict you also so much. So we have to be patient and do the homework, which you're getting a chance to do more than me, of study. Yeah, I'm so envious of that, because I'm here just talking, and my rounds aren't anybody's business, how great or otherwise they are, and my everything is still splayed out as usual. But and sometimes when I first came back from Australia, I'd go to the deities and I'd cry, and I would say to them that, look, Maharaj just said all these outrageous things, and people also probably notice that I never go to Mangalati, and still my rounds aren't great, and look, if you want me to do anything, you're going to have to do something to help me, because I have so many problems like that. No self-discipline, no regulation, nothing. And how can you help other people if you can't get these things? And I found that mostly I'm sort of working on consistency at this point, becoming aware of inconsistencies, becoming aware of all the times that I'm not in the mood that I wish I was in, and I'm not capable of helping anyone, and I've gone out of it and trying to pray. I think that's as far as I can say I've gone. And trying to keep having faith that Prabhupada is going to take care of my lackings, because you look at me and see the positive openings that are taking place in my life, but I look at me and see the lack of self-discipline and all those things, and how hard it is to be in a body that is not at all complying with any regular daily functions, and that kind of just gets wiped out so easily, and then I have no strength to go on. And so I'm working on terribly basic things about myself, and you're working on other basic things about yourself and your family situation. My son seems to be sort of alright at this point, although he's just about worked out of the Gurukul system, and I think he's coming home in 2 weeks, and that'll change my life a bit, because he's a pretty whimsical, he's a bit like me, whimsical and friendly, but he's not unduly rebellious at this point. And there are devotees like Kaliya Krishna, who's had raised 3 teenage sons, who's sort of become friendly with my husband and giving little bits of good advice. And the Gurukul ashram was just too rigid, and he's not stupid, and so he could see the defects in terms of dealing with the older boys and trying to control them, and there's a lot of boys who are not happy at present in the older age category. So that's where the school is weak. It's always been weak there, because it's so much based on discipline and just saying yes, yes, yes. So that will have to be fixed up some if they want to maintain boys over the age of about 13. But, you know, what can they do? They've got tons of little boys next door. On the left-hand side, Vinodvani has 14 little boys who run and gallop outside my door. And on the right-hand side, beyond my two rooms, Kumarikanta lives, and then Padma has another 8 little boys who run and jump outside my room. So I'm getting used to jumping, running little boys. And the MVT land is going on slowly. I'd say it won't be ready till next Kartik. That's my estimation, although they say it will be ready in April. But I don't think I want to stay unless I have to move into it. Lolita's maturing. She had a hard time accepting all my family members and my so-called name and responsibilities in the world when she first got back. She really thought it was weird and let me have a hard time about it. But somehow my children, like your children, are unconventional and simple when it comes down to it. So when I told her that she saw a letter from Tarika signed with a background saying your number one daughter, and so she was upset. And I told her that she thinks she's my number one daughter, but you're my favorite daughter, and she's so simple that when I gave her that title, she was satisfied with it. And I fed her nicely one night and told her after she was sitting purring that now you have to stop doing that because I may have to do this kind of service and you have to accommodate it into your reality. And she has, and she's gone to Mayapur to serve Satsurup Maharaj, and she's happy. And then probably in January she'll go to America. She'll work it out with Satsurup Maharaj and let us know. And what else? The boy in Delhi that Gopal Guru found. He disappeared again, or at least I lost contact with him. He didn't appear to answer my letters, but apparently he did answer my letters to Australia. I just didn't receive his responses. Well, Suchi Rani came here and she was going back to Delhi, and I gave her this address. And I said, if you could find this person, I'd be very happy, because Gopal Guru introduced me to him. So she found him and she went to see him. Found him an interesting person. Another complicated one. Seems like he's a doctor, very philanthropic, interesting person, she said, a little argumentative, willing to come to Vrindavan, eager to meet again, but thoroughly Mayavad and very much absorbed in all sorts of mystical Kashmiri things, a lot of conceptions, angry at God, and working very hard. And anyway, she really liked him, and I told her she should also keep in touch with him. The more the better. So he's coming after Diwali, that means after Prabhupada's disappearance day, he'll come, or I'll go up to Delhi for a day and go and meet him. So I was relieved to find he was still contactable. Yes, I was really happy to hear that Paul rang you, and I'm sure that you and Paul have a connection. You already know that, and I won't tease you, because by your sincere preaching, slowly, 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 because if you're going to change somebody very deeply who's not easy to love, you'll have to be prepared to do it slowly, which is what you're being trained for, imperceptible change. Slowly, slowly, you will change him. I didn't have much doubt about that from the very beginning. He's on your list. And the infamous Bhakti, I think Gopal Guru is the one to help with them. He's very powerful. You should offer flower for Ram Prasad as well. I'm glad to hear Shasti's doing well. And Kelly, yes, Kelly's a unique individual. Been sent, empowered and sent to you for your ongoing company and association. And Usha, I hope she's doing all right. Tamal Krishnamurti's definitely backed out of sending any tickets to Vrindavan, but he has to uphold his ticket to China. Nari, I think I already wrote you and told you that in my experience she's a very unusual person and probably not somebody you can be close friends with. But sometimes you might find her interesting to talk to, but she's too erratic in her enthusiasm, I think, to feel comfortable with her. And I don't think that the devotees here were unnecessarily snobbish of her, but she felt like that because they didn't want to take her instantly to see Maharaj. She was overly curious. It's hard not seeing him. It's hard not going with him places. I think I told you in a letter when I went to see him right after I went to that meeting and I was crying. And he was pleased. I went in the morning to make a tape with Krishna Das, bhajan tape. One thing that was really hard for me was that I went there, and of course Naveen is expert at being polite, and so is Maharaj. And we had a little exchange, me and Maharaj, and at that time he pointed out the program schedule and said, do you want to come? And finally I sort of realized, well, yeah, I do want to come. I know I can't come, but I really do want to come. So I finally just said, yes, I want to come, at the risk of having not saying, but I can't come. And he seemed very pleased that I wanted to come, but of course I haven't been even one time to join his parikrama party, which is a bit hard, except I don't feel exactly guilty about it because I know the situation is very sensitive. But when I saw Krishna Das and I saw Naveen, and this is after Maharaj had gone to his room, and Naveen asked me what I was doing in a very friendly way, I said I'd come to make a tape with Krishna Das. And Naveen swiftly went over to Krishna Das and, speaking in Bengali, spoke to him, and they both sort of looked at me, and then Krishna Das went into the room to see Maharaj, and it seemed to me, my impression was, that he had to ask him permission. So that again was a little hint of the tension that sort of exists at the present time. Of course Maharaj gave permission and he came back out, and I tried to avoid the fact that I saw that, because it again made me feel sad. But basically there's a lot of sensitivity, and it's going to be a really heavy Gopurnim. There's going to be two sides, and it's going to be a fight, and there'll be many who are neutral, who don't want to get involved. And I find myself on the neutral party, on the favorable side at this point, in order that I can do my sneaky business of going around and influencing people. It came up in the temple president's meeting, which Shripa told me also, that Sydney, Atmaram, said, they talked about Janarani, they didn't want her to come, and then they said, what about Dhanada Swami? And then Nareshwar, of all people, stopped the conversation right there and said, let's stop this conversation right now, because if you go any further, well, there'll be a lot of names, won't there? And they had to stop, and Prabhu Vishnu Maharaj also was of the opinion they should just stop at that point. And so my name didn't come up, and I heard via Sriram, and I also heard via Chinchiripa, that it was very sensitive. I think Sriram never understood it before, how sensitive the issue was, but he got a glimpse of it there. I was talking to Radhacharan yesterday morning. He came in. He's a friend of Sriram's, and he lived with him for some time in Perth. And so he started telling me about his qualities, his management qualities, good and bad. And one of the things that he mentioned on the good side is he said that he's got a very, very, very cool head, and he's very expert at watching something happening and taking a very balanced point of view and keeping completely confidential his own point of view. So Already when Suchi Rani was coming here, Prabhu Vishnu Maharaj was in Perth and they had a meeting about the management. And after the management meeting, Prabhu Vishnu Maharaj talked to Suchi Rani, warning her when she was coming here to be very careful. And Sri Ram was there also, and he told Suchi Rani afterwards that he didn't realize that he was speaking to two people. Suchi Rani said, maybe he does, and he said no, because he's sort of quite intuitive, he could understand that he didn't. But then Suchi Rani asked, then should I be careful with Jagatrini? And he said, no, she's all right, but just don't go there or do anything. So then they both got an idea again, a glimpse again how sensitive it was. But naturally when Suchi Rani came here, we've just been going on Prakrama, doing the things I normally do, when she first arrived, of course I told her all about all the things that have happened with Maharaj, so she's sort of not able to divorce me from him. But we see that position is sensitive right now. Somehow, by his mercy, the anxiety is gone, and the sort of deep lamenting is gone. Just the sadness is there, a constant sadness that's not unfair.